I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about murder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always had to say it like Linda Belcher. There's so much I left out of this story because it was like bleh. And kind of sexist and infantilizing to Alma. But it merits discussion because these are things that have not entirely gone away. One of the things that really stood out to me while I was reading accounts of the trial was a comment Pardue made. He got to the trial a little bit late when it started, and he had to sit in the press box. So reporters heard him say this. He had not seen Alma in quite a while. She, of course, had still been in jail. He had not been visiting her. And the first thing he said when she came into the courtroom was, "Wow, she looks like she lost 40 pounds, which she apparently had lost about 40 pounds while she was in jail. But it also was just super gross. And there was lots of discussion of her body in the press about how, like, some accounts you read of her trial is about how incredibly pretty she was. And then there are others that are like, yeah, but remember when she was fat? And it's just like the grossest. Like, oh, she had been quite chubby before all of this, so maybe this was good. Like, it's just the grossest, ickiest, but that stuff still happens today. It is not confined to the 1920s by any stretch of the imagination. Just yucky. I just want to point out, people still do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. If you hear someone doing that, call them on it to their face. There's just no need.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes up a lot is that in newspaper accounts, and this will surprise no one, she was very young, but she was an adult and a married woman, but they call her the girl all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah. Something that I sort of thought about as we were talking about, like, the press coverage and how they talked about her and the emphasis on what it was going to be like if she had to be executed by the electric chair and all of that stuff. It is sort of about how still today, when we're talking about like a young, pretty white woman being accused of something, it being handled totally differently than accusations against like a person of color or
100%.
All of that. Like that, I kept thinking about that as we were talking about it.
Oh, he invoked like her one day children, like, you know, it was just all very weird. There was so much circling around, even from the beginning, this idea that she, like, the police not taking it seriously because she could not have done anything. She is a sweet girl that we all love. And as you said, if she were not, you know, a cute white girl.
Yeah.
That would have gone completely differently. That dodge is pesky.
Yeah. What? And what a weird way to talk about it to me. Like,
well, this is interesting because to me, and I don't know where anyone's feelings on the matter stand. Of course, as I was researching it, I would vacillate between being like, oh, she totally did it. And also going like, oh, maybe not. And part of what I kept coming back to were the parts of the version she told Pardue versus the version she told in court. And also, we don't know that that version she told Pardue was really what she said, but there was so much overlapping detail. But it almost seemed like the dodge actually becomes a point for me where I'm like, oh, that kind of makes it seem like she really was covering for her mother, because it's such a weird detail.
Yeah.
Why would she have included it in her account to Pardue if she had not heard it from her mother, who said a car came and took him away?
Yeah.
And it seems to me like that point where someone is trying to reconcile all the details of a thing.
Yeah.
And the ones that don't make sense are because they weren't really the one that was involved in that part of it.
Right.
But that could just be like a Pollyanna read on my part.
Well, and just the whole thing, I'm like, but who was driving the car? How did they hear they needed to come take a body away?
Right.
Like, they're so...
Right.
And so to me, like, if she had like seen the car leaving the driveway, not knowing who was driving it, not really knowing anything, like that to me is it would sort of then be reasonable to be like, and you know, a Dodge, somebody in a Dodge came and took him away. But like, otherwise, I'm like, if she had murdered him, like, then how did this Dodge get summoned? Like, it was very confusing to me.
Well, and there was a piece of information that appeared in kind of like the raggy newspapers that were like, no, some people are saying they saw two men leaving the house that night. But then that story just kind of like disappears into the ether, which makes it sound like it never had any real substance. Do you want to hear like a creepy part?
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously Smith was dead and in the basement.
Yes.
The Pettys no longer lived at that house on Lindsay Drive.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that lived there were their friends. And that house is where Alma and Jean spent their wedding night. And she knew her dead dad was in the basement. Yeah, it's super weird. That's a weird one. That was a little like, that gave me the huzz.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, Alma, maybe you are a sociopath. I don't know.
Yeah. Something I have struggled with in this episode and other episodes that I don't think we have talked about on the show or in the behind the scenes, is discussions around like alcohol addiction and alcohol abuse, because there's been a movement away from using the term alcoholism because it's stigmatizing. There are three different people in my life who have died as a direct result of alcohol. And the term misuse to me does not encapsulate what they went through or dealt with. And so when we're talking about this on the show, especially when we're talking about somebody who clearly, like, while under the influence of alcohol, was horribly abusive to his family and violent and threatening, like, to call that misuse feels weirdly minimizing. So it's like, I don't know what the best language is at this point to both not be stigmatizing, but also not minimize what's going on, if that makes sense.
Oh, same boat, 100%. I mean, there are certainly lots of people in my life who have had a fraught relationship with alcohol. That's the kindest way I know to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the same exact struggle as you. I'm like,
yeah,
misuse sounds a little... And I don't want to criticize people who are coming up with this terminology because I know it's difficult, but it sounds a little benign in some cases.
Yeah.
Like this one where it's like, no, misuse to me sounds more like someone is perhaps harming themselves, but this is a person that becomes like a monster. And I admittedly, like, my own take on it is, you know, charged with its own bias and experience, but it's tricky. It's hard to know how to talk about those things. I know there are huge, you know, efforts that go on, around all kinds of substance use and misuse that people are really trying to find the right language, and it is difficult.
Yeah. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women. And this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The other thing that is interesting to me in this, to jump to slightly less, it's not less serious, it's a different kind of serious, is that moment where the authorities did the same thing. Do you remember where we talked about the last guillotining in France, kind of recent, and similarly, like, an American woman had been murdered and there was all of that going on. And just as in that case where the police got accused of doing nothing and they were like, we have totally been doing things, shut up, we're trying to keep it on the DL, the same thing went on here. And it just is one of those things where that also is kind of a tricky space of, like, everyone wants transparency from authorities.
Yeah.
But sometimes transparency can hurt a case or an investigation of this nature. And I understand how that is difficult territory to walk.
Yeah.
And it can get misused and, you know, abused by people in power who can just say, no, we've totally been doing it. We're doing it. It's an interesting thing that comes up again and again.
Yeah. I had some similar thoughts about how the Reverend, like leaving aside the question of whether he should have disclosed something that was was confided in his role as like a minister, like aside from that, like he had reported it, but then it was like aggressively pursuing the matter. And part of me was like, you reported it though, like you did that part, like, and now you're so aggressively going after it in a way of like, why is this the thing that you feel so compelled to like continue to push on? It's not as though like you think someone else is going to come to harm that would be prevented by.
Right. I mean, he always told the press and anyone who asked him, because he was, I mean, it was not a matter of like later people criticized him from the outset. But his thing was that I really, really thought long and hard about this. And I felt like to be a good citizen, I had to do everything I could to bring a murderer to justice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what his motivation is. We never will. It's interesting because when you read accounts, even today, there are people who are very divided on this case and how it should have gone down. One of the books that I read, in addition to a lot of the newspaper stuff I combed through, was by a man who was a boy in Reidsville when all of this was going on. And he had been one of the people that showed up in the yard when he found out there was a dead body in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And he had grown up with the story and just couldn't quite stop thinking about it. So he ended up doing a really comprehensive, research and write up of it, and spoke with Alma in her later days. And it's interesting to me because I feel like someone in that position could very easily be very heavy handed and biased in their writing one way or the other. But it does seem like he's pretty, to me, it reads as pretty even handed, where he does talk about like all of the pros and cons of everybody involved. Like, yes, the preacher probably shouldn't have done this, but also he really thought he was doing, or at least he claimed he really thought he was doing what his conscience told him he had to. Yes, Alma was young and grew up in a horrible, abusive household. Also, why was her cell green? Like,
yeah,
like a whole, there are a lot of questions about it that are just kind of strange. And that's, you know, those details are what make a story like this fascinating. So anyway, Alma. And then I went down the rabbit hole of like, when did it become not okay for religious figures to testify in court? just its own little side research project.
Right. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
We talked about the Brown Dog Affair and by extension, vivisection and the anti-vivisection movement. A rough topic. For both of us.
We did.
We've always tried to explain what anti-vivisection meant when it has come up in the show, but that specific aspect of a person's life has always been kind of just a side note in what was a podcast about something else.
Right.
Like Vernon Lee's writing. The anti-vivisection was like a sentence. I wanted to do an episode that talked about it in a little bit more detail. But then also when I heard about the Brown Dog Affair, it was just such a weird... people got so upset about that statue. And the medical journals publishing on it are bizarre to me. Like, we mentioned that the anti-vivisectionist testimony was dismissed as being hysterical. But in terms of what I read in research for the podcast, I'm not saying I read every single thing they ever wrote, but in terms of what I read and the statements they made, everything they were saying was way more direct and reasonable and sometimes passionate, but nothing that I would put into the realm of excessively emotional or quotation marks hysterical.
Right.
While meanwhile, the British Medical Journal is talking about people smashing things with a hammer as doing the will of their king. And I was like, these medical write-ups are way more... emotionally overwrought to me than anything that the anti-vivisectionists were writing and what I read about this. So I just found that a weird thing that I want to talk about.
Yeah. It's, that's often the case, right? The people who accuse other people of being irrational are the ones being the most irrational.
The anti-doggers seemed very irrational to me. Something that did not seem irrational, though, was the, a lot of the core elements of the movement. Because, a lot of the work, work is, not the right word I actually want, but, there were really, really important medical discoveries that we have talked about on the show that have been made possible through research on animals. Developing insulin to save the lives of people with diabetes. Everything about tetralogy of Fallot and how the Blaylock-Taussig-Thomas shunt was developed, that involved a lot of dog research. And I don't know if those discoveries would have been possible without research on animals. If it had been possible, it would have taken so, so much longer. And it's people feel very strongly about whether that is okay, right?
Yes.
Simultaneously, there was a lot of stuff that was going on in the 18th, 19th, early 20th century that wasn't necessary and wasn't respectful of the animals involved and didn't try to protect them from pain. And that's not something that's necessarily gone away. Like, when I was in eighth grade in biology class, we had to dissect frogs.
Yep.
And this is what led to me being a vegetarian for many years, because my classmates, particularly the boys, were awful in how, like, they were not living frogs. That was like the what was supposed to happen in ninth grade biology or whatever. But the way they treated these animals was awful, and their behavior during the class was awful. And I was like, I don't think we are learning anything that's actually useful to us in our lives through this exercise in the eighth grade classroom. And the behavior of my classmates is unacceptable and disrespectful, and I don't want to do it again. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, and also, I don't think I want to eat animals either. And so,
right.
That's as how not only did I wind up sitting in the chemistry classroom during dissection in my high school biology class, I did not take high school anatomy at all because I did not want to do the dissections that were required in that class. And I don't know if my classmates had matured to the point that they were less awful about it, but I still was like, I don't think this was helping me learn in a meaningful way.
Right. This is an interesting point because I feel like, I mean, I wasn't there, but I feel like for a lot of kids that do become comedians in that situation, it's often a coping mechanism for them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not what's working for you, obviously.
Right.
But the intent is not always so much to disrespect the animal involved, but just to, like, get emotional distance from the situation, right? Like, I had a similar, like, I was freaking out when it was frog time. And this will sound very callous, but honestly, like, I know I mentally needed the thing. My dear, dear friend who was doing it with me started doing Hello, My Baby. Michigan J. Frog with the frog. And yeah, that, like, broke the tension of it. I was still upset.
Yeah.
But he recognized, like, that, you know, a Bugs Bunny or a Looney Tunes reference would at least help me, like, emotionally reset. So I think there's that, too, to consider.
I don't want to get into detail of what my classmates were doing because it's horrifying, but it was way worse than singing the Hello My Baby song with the frog.
Yeah. There was also a frog that ended up in a lunchroom chafing dish at our school.
Oh no.
Yeah. It was okay. It was dramatic.
That's no, yeah. No, thank you. Yeah. No. So yeah, I got instead of dissecting frogs in high school biology, I got to write an essay about why I did not want to do it. And then I was excused from class and set in the chemistry room.
Yeah.
So anyway, like, I have complicated feelings about all of this.
Oh, yeah. This puts me in mind of all of the ways that various pop culture media has tried to, like, work through this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm trying to remember what show it was. Like a teen drama kind of show where one of the, is it Saved by the Bell? I don't know. Where one of the students couldn't bear the thought of doing the dissection, and their teacher, like, went to great personal effort to find, like, a computer simulation of the whole process so that they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't watch this show. I don't know why I watched this episode. I'm sure I was, like, intoxicated or something with friends. There was an episode of 90210 about vivisection. Do you remember?
Oh, I have no idea. I never watched that.
Yeah. Where Andrea, who was she pre-med? Was she, I don't know what it was, worked in a lab where they were doing some animal experiments. I don't think it was vivisection, but it was other experiments. And, like, some of the other peers in her friend group were protesting the lab for what the experiments it was doing. And it became, like, one of those deep, you know, drama television discussions of like the benefits and dangers of animal experimentation. So yes, I think about all of the ways that, bless them, TV writers have tried to help people work through this. I will thank you for minimizing the amount of things that would make me cry in this episode.
I only
cried like twice. I got more than halfway through before I had to take a minute.
You did a very good job. And some of the things that were emotional were not what I thought would be when writing it, which is how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, surprises always.
Yeah. But as I was working on this, I found various, you know, anti-vivisection organizations that still exist that have laid out various arguments for wanting to like end the practice entirely. And it's one of those things where there's just a whole ethical layer that I feel like is often complicated to people. Like there are some people who feel very strongly one way or the other, very easily definable, pro or anti. And then for me, there's a bunch of stuff that's just in the middle. And I'm like,
same.
This stuff seems wrong. Like I make a point of trying to buy, you know, vegan, not tested on animals face products. But also, you know, I have a cousin who had a major heart surgery as a child who probably would not have survived childhood had there not been experiments involving the hearts of animals first. So it's hard.
Yes.
Anyway, one thing that I wish I had more information about was Lizzie Lindoff Hogaby and the other folks that we talked about. Like, I'm like, this is very fascinating to me. We've got a couple of, one was aristocratic. The other, I think, was actually a member of the nobility. They had come from Sweden to do all of this, that simultaneously motivated by wanting to learn and then also wanting to, like, learn how vivisection was used and to, like, advocate against vivisection being used in this kind of instruction. But I just like, I don't know what their personalities were like. I don't know what their lives are like beyond this particular incident. And some of the other figures in the movement, we do know a lot more about, but I was like, you know, I wish I had like a more robust sense of who these were as people. But if that information is around, I sure did not find it. Maybe somebody should write a novel. Maybe someone has. There's a novel about the Brown Dog Affair, but like a novel about a lesser known 19th century and early 20th century anti-vivisectionist.
There's probably something written in Swedish.
Probably so. That would, yeah. I run into that from time to time where I'm like, oh dear, it's not. Well, also, occasionally we will get topic suggestions from people who do not live in the United States and who, like, live in a country where English is not necessarily a predominantly spoken language. Mm-hmm. And it will be sort of like, oh, you should do an episode on so-and-so. There's a ton of information about them. And, like, here in the, like, there's really not, though. and it can make it a little tricky. So anyway, if you have ideas about episode topics, anything like that, you can drop us a note, historypodcast@iheartradio.com. Hey, it's Friday. Whatever's going on your weekend, you know, if you've got to work this weekend, I hope everybody is great to you. And if you're off this weekend, I hope you're able to take some time and rest. I've been trying to make it a point to myself to rest sometimes. That's working out sometimes, not others. We'll be back with a brand new episode on Monday, but before that, Saturday Classic tomorrow. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.